You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Welcome to Teach Better Talk podcast, episode 249. Who knew, guys? We're almost at 250. Kind of exciting. My name is Ray Hewart, and as always, Jeff Gargis is here with me because even almost at 250 episodes, I can't get rid of the guy. So hi, Jeff.
Hi. That was...
How you doing?
Kind of mean, but whatever.
Okay, define mean. We're almost 250 episodes in. I don't want to hear
it. Rachel Hewart. That's how I define mean.
Whoa, the drama. My goodness. Guys, we are kicking off hardcore here on a, for you guys, it's a Thursday morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. It is Thursday. I love
Thursdays are great days. It means that you have accomplished a lot throughout the week and you still have ample time to accomplish more.
I do. Yeah. I also love Thursdays. My wife is off work, so I see more of her, which is great. Which today, right now, while we're recording this, it's my wife's birthday.
I love Amy. Happy birthday, Amy. We love you.
She doesn't listen, but happy birthday.
But if you were listening, Amy, we love you. I already texted her, so I don't really care. She knows that I love
her.
Did
you text her today?
Yes.
Yes. Obviously. Good. I did not.
You didn't text your wife? I hope you, like, gave her a hug or a smooch or something.
I said hello.
She deserves it.
We did stuff yesterday. I gave her Valentine's Day and her birthday stuff yesterday.
I see. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that you were a decent husband. To be honest, Jeff, like, I give you grief a lot, but I know that you're a pretty great husband. So I believe that you spoiled Amy at the appropriate amount.
Here's the best part is because you know how you can figure out how that we've been married for a long time because I got her an air mattress because the kids like to camp out downstairs a lot and we're getting rid of the couches and the futons in there. So there's nowhere to sleep. So last time she and I, like, we had to sleep on the ground. It was painful. So she's like, we really need an air mattress. And I'm like, boom, done. And then I got her this, it's a, like a canvas print of an old cassette player, which is, Ray, I'm not sure if you're familiar. Cassette player is what they used before we had.
I hate you.
Before we had CDs.
I hate you.
Before we had, yeah. Anyway, a cassette player, and it's got Born to Be My Baby, which is a song by Bon Jovi that we actually came into our wedding to, like into our wedding reception. And then it has our wedding date, and then like around the tape wounder things in the I don't know what that's called, the spindles, I guess, is all the lyrics of the song. So it's a cool, like, throwback thing. I don't know where we're gonna put it. It doesn't go with anything in our house, but she thought it was cute. And I'm like, is it all right that I just got you an air mattress? And she's like, are you kidding me? This is awesome. And I'm like, all right, good. Check that one out.
Guys, Amy is the most wonderful, happy, practical, lovely woman on the planet. I'm thrilled that she liked the gift. That's literally all that matters.
She's both the easiest and the most difficult person to shop for. Because she's easy because it's typically simple things that get her really excited. But she's also really difficult because she doesn't want anything.
No, she's like the most lovely woman. I can't say enough good things about her. She doesn't want for anything and she gives always.
She loves baking cupcakes and doing design. So she does that for all the girls at her work. And so they were all like freaking out because, like, what do we do for Amy when she makes all the cupcakes? So she made 48 cupcakes last night and decorated them this morning, took them in. I think they probably got her a bunch of stuff too. But I'm like, that's pretty much.
Here we go. Wait, hold on. I have a comparison that was tried for our network. And then obviously I know we have other things we're going to talk about. All right. If you are in our Teach Better family and you know Livia Chan, who is the most generous, sweet, lovely woman, Livia and Amy are like almost the same person. So if you think the world of Livia, like, trust me, you'd love Amy. Like, there we go. That's a comparison.
A dangerous combination, those two.
Dangerous. I would never.
That is going to be a fun day when we get them two together.
No, I would never put them in a room together.
That'd be awesome.
No, the world would implode. No.
I think next Teach Better conference, Amy and Livia has to be the other person working the front table. Checking.
Oh my God. Wait, could you imagine if you threw Jackie in there? Oh my God. The world would explode.
Yeah. Horrible. Wow. That'd be crazy. I get to hang out with Jackie this week.
Okay. Don't brag on the podcast. Come on. Get
out
of here.
I like to brag on the podcast. Wait, we're almost 5 minutes into this and we've said nothing really. Well, actually, that's not true.
To your wife.
We actually said quite a bit about my wife. That's not what I'm.
Wow.
I'm sure everyone listening and sitting, when they started the episode, they're like, ooh, it's 2:49. I hope they talk about Jeff's wife for 5 minutes.
Whatever. Amy's awesome.
That's good. I hope she's not listening now because I just said that. But let's talk about my wife's favorite person in the entire world.
Not you, but Chad Ostrowski.
I don't think that's accurate, but we'll say it is.
I mean, guys, I think Chad Ostrowski is worth talking about because he has a big thing starting next week. And so I think he's worth celebrating. I don't know.
Yeah, let's celebrate him in this thing that he has started. I see. So tell us about this. It's called the Building a Grid. It's a live series, which is awesome. It's a live stream series, which means it's going to be on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, right?
Yes.
And streamed into our private Facebook group as well. So it's free for everyone. And can you kind of break it down? Like, what is actually happening, though? Like, what does that mean?
No, absolutely. And it's going to be housed in our academy. So if you miss any of the sessions, they're not only saved on social media platforms, but you'll be able to go to teachbetter.com or teachbetteracademy.com and grab all the sessions. We're going to house them there because so many of you have asked. So we're doing a Build a Grid live series because we get asked to do this all the time. I have done a few, Chad's done a few, but we've never really done a series where we go live with another educator and we do one-on-one live coaching to build a grid. So we are truly building a grid live on camera, streaming everywhere and saved for all of you to enjoy. And truly, I mean, we know a lot of you use the grid method, but a lot of people don't know where to start. And if they're not a part of our, you know, like workshops that we do with districts, or they aren't interested in necessarily taking a course in the academy, we just want to truly give you every tool humanly possible to make it happen. So it is a multi-part series. This is literally going from the end of February to the middle of April. I mean, it's ridiculous. And educators are joining us from around the world from all different subject areas and grade levels to build a grid live with Chad. So the first one is starting next week, February 23rd. Chad is going live with an elementary math teacher, nice. And they are building an elementary math grid. From there, it's every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern in the evening, every Tuesday from February 23rd till April 13th. They're doing a secondary science grid, elementary reading, secondary social studies, secondary writing, elementary art, secondary PE. And then the last one's going to be a bonus. We're doing an admin support session. Ooh, so it's cool. Supporting administrators to support their teachers who might be using a mastery learning framework.
Cool twist in it. Are we allowed to, do we know the educator names that are joining him? Are we allowed to say that? I'm curious who the administrator is. Can we give that one away early on?
Do we know? The answer is yes. You want to give, okay, I'm not going to give all of them away, but I'll tell you.
Just the admin.
The admin is Mark Heller.
Oh, man. I mean, what a rock star for how to support grid method teachers.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, that's awesome. He's probably already skipped forward, though. He probably doesn't hear us talking about us because he always skips us. He tells us that he skips us in the intro. Yeah. This is one of those things, and I've said this a few times, like random lives and stuff, but working with educators and like going through the grid creation process is like one of my favorite things in the world to do, which is, it's also one of the most challenging because I'm not into the curriculum as much, but watching Chad, and honestly, Ray, not to shock everyone and compliment you, but to watch you and or Chad go through and like get an educator just thinking differently and letting their creativity just flow. Like you guys are both so good at that. It's so much fun to watch. And when you see little things click, you're like, oh. But then even better is when the educator will say something. Well, I want you to watch for this. When you're watching, the educator say something that Chad's never heard before, and he'll go, ooh, boom. And it just like unlocks a whole other thing. It's one of my favorite things about what we do. Honestly, we do a lot of stuff, but I love that. It's from day one.
It's so interesting you say that, Jeff, because we do a lot of stuff. This is something I feel like we always do in the background, though. Like, I had two phone calls today. It's Monday, and it's 6 o'clock Central right now, 6:30. Mm-hmm. I did two of these today where I, like, sat on the phone with an educator, and it was their specific grade level, their specific subject area, and the district that they're in, and we, like, problem-solved through sketching out a grid. And they didn't get everything done, but we, like, built the bare bones. Like, what does level one look like? What is level two? How do you build in? What's enrichment opportunities? And we problem-solved the whole time. And I always feel so accomplished afterwards. You, like, hang up the phone, and you're like, yes, we just did such good work. But it was only between the educator and the facilitator. And so I'm thrilled that we're live streaming these because there are so many educators that would benefit from being a part of that conversation, either directly or indirectly, from just hearing the thought process, right? Like from the beginning to end. So I'm so excited we're doing this live series. Again, every Tuesday starting February 23rd at 8 o'clock Eastern, Chad is going live with all different types of educators. And this is going to span K-12. And we are really just trying to show you as many examples as possible. So you might be listening and saying, ooh, I want to watch a math grid. And you might benefit from watching the elementary and the secondary because there's different questions that they're going to ask that for that one-on-one coaching. Or maybe you're a high school teacher, but watching the middle school social studies grid might benefit you because you get to see, again, the other questions. So I love that Chad's doing this. And I learn a ton when I watch Chad do it. So I'm excited to tune in.
I'm excited about this too. You know, it's something funny. This is really funny that you just went through that. You did two of those today. I have two different grids today that I did via Google Doc, like just commenting and stuff that I've talked to in the past. So that's really interesting. That's funny. It goes on all the time. I love it. I love it.
All the time. Yeah. I can't wait.
Let's flip. I also love this episode. This was an awesome, awesome episode. Dan Edwards, he is an elementary principal over in the UK. And this dude's a rock star. I mean, we had a blast chatting prior to going live. And then I found out that it was midnight over there. I didn't even think about that. Dude stayed up all night to hang out with us and do this podcast episode. And I'm telling you, man, just little gems dropped all through the entire episode. And just a few of the things that he said, I think I actually say it in the episode, like, you need to rewind that back. And I really believe that. So really, really enjoy this episode. I know you've had some conversation with Dan prior to this. You were super excited to have him on. Anything you want anybody, our listeners, to like focus in on or really listen for?
Yeah, we always say to go connect with people. I want to be honest. Like, guys, I follow this guy because I get value from following him. So, yeah, go make a connection. That's all true. And you should do that all the time with people on Teach Better Talk. But Dan's something special. Go connect with him. He is a genuinely incredible educator. And I'm excited for all of you to continue to get value from him, not only in this episode, but hopefully far after as well.
All right, with that, let's get into episode 249 with Dan Edwards.
Hey, guys, we'll get right back to this episode, but I do want to give a special shout out to applications opening for Teach Better Ambassadors. I know we've been talking about it a bunch. I'm so stinking excited. February 8th, ambassador applications are opening up over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. If you are a passionate member of the Teach Better family, if you listen to the podcast, pop into Mastery Chats, enjoy a live session here and there, then you are most likely qualified to apply to be a Teach Better ambassador. There are so many perks. You can read about everything that's included over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. And on February 8th, you'll see a brand new button there to actually apply to be one yourself. Applications are open February 8th through February 27th. And from there, we will welcome a brand new set of ambassadors to our incredible family. If you love staying connected and doing incredible work to support and collaborate with others, this is the group for you. I'll meet you over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. But for right now, let's get back to this episode.
All right, we are here. We are chatting with Dan Edwards. And Dan, man, it's so awesome to have you on the podcast. I actually really, really enjoyed just chatting with you here a little bit before. Ray was actually getting off a live stream over all of our social media. And so we were chatting a little bit about running and all kinds of cool stuff. So that was a lot of fun. So now I'm even more excited to kind of dive in and just learn more about you and your story and such. But before we get too far into that, man, how are you feeling right now?
I'm good. We're just having our February half-term break, which is a week off. And it's been a very challenging term over in the UK for our schools as we've gone into lockdown and we are in a hybrid model, a remote learning model. So it's been a very challenging time since Christmas where we've been learning very, very quickly about how to get the best learning for our pupils. And I think the week break is now very, very welcome for lots of educators in the UK. So it's been nice to take some time away, reflect, revise on where we may go next, and as you say, do a lot of running, which has been fantastic.
Dan, I was so excited to talk to you tonight because we originally connected on Twitter. You had reached out wanting to continue our connection through a Zoom call, and I'm so glad you did because I now find you all over in the Teach Better family. And so when I saw you on the calendar for today recording, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for podcasting tonight. So I'm so thrilled you're here. Before we get into all the questions and all, I'm hoping, like, all the stories you share, I want to make sure our listeners get to know you a little bit. So will you answer kind of like the typical traditional age-old question of, hey, Dan, what do you do?
Well, okay. Well, I'm a primary school principal in the UK in a city called Leicester. And I've been the principal of my school, Woodstock Primary Academy, for probably just over 3 years now. Prior to working in the primary sector, I was a secondary drama and English teacher. So I was teaching children from 11 to 18, English and drama and theatre studies. And then after a while, I decided to move into the primary sector, which is, I suppose, your elementary school. So from 3 years old to 11. And I, after taking a break from secondary school, I stepped back into the classroom and thoroughly enjoyed teaching a younger range of pupils. And rather than just teaching one subject and being a subject specialist in one area, I was really keen to teach a broad curriculum and see where my interest of drama and English could be developed from children in nursery to those children about to start, you know, their high school journey. So, yeah, that's where I'm at now. And I love my school. You know, we've been on quite a journey of improvement over the last 3 years. And we've been really trying to build our school community. So our parents, and our teachers and our staff, and hopefully reaching out to some of the, you know, the community aspects, you know, small businesses. So we're building a family based on, you know, mutual respect, high expectations, but also making sure that our relationships between our staff and our pupils and our parents are, you know, really strong and caring. And what better time to practice those relationships and make sure they were strong enough, obviously, during this lockdown period that we're currently in.
You know, I love, Dan, I love your focus on that. You said you're building a family and, you, and you're on this 3 year improvement plan that you're trying to create this community. I'd love to hear sort of where your focus is. Is that the primary focus of the 3 year plan? Is it the building the community? And what are some of the ways that you are going about that? And then also just sort of like a secondary is how has the lockdown of COVID either hindered that, helped that, made that just different? Kind of give us that story of how that's going right now.
I think when I came to the school, we needed to really bring all of our stakeholders together. So as much as the school was functioning, I noticed that our parental community and the wider community probably weren't as cohesive as we needed to be on our journey of improvement, because we really did need everybody to get behind the new message or the new ethos and help us achieve that. And without using a cliche that I'm sure lots of people hear, I'm a great believer in that, you know, that classic quote of culture eats strategy for breakfast. And we needed to develop a culture, and we needed to develop a brand or a kind of an ethos that was really identifiable to our pupils, and like I say, our parents. So we came up with Team Woodstock, which was our mantra. And everything, every letter we signed off, every tweet we kind of sent out there was always about Team Woodstock. And the fact that it wasn't just the staff and the pupils, that Team Woodstock extended beyond the school gates. It reached out to parents. It reached out to ex-pupils who were now in their 50s or 60s, because we're quite, you know, geographically defined by the area that we serve. So many of our alumni, as it were still live in the area, you know, are probably grandparents of the pupils that go there now. So we needed to build that identity and build that trust and build that community. And we've been really successful in that. And I suppose one of the biggest testaments to that was when we first went into lockdown in March, we were able to really keep our family and community with us, because we were very concerned that, you know, like most schools, when you go into lockdown, the voices of the school and the messaging and the communication from the school can easily be lost because we're no longer functioning as a school. And you worry sometimes about how that's filled with social media or, you know, media of the press in the country. And So we managed to keep our messaging going through Facebook and all range of different ways of doing things. And yeah, we're in a position now. Unfortunately, we are in lockdown 3 in the UK, as it were. And we've been successful because we're still continually talking with our parents and making sure that that community is still there. So yeah, it's been a very important thing for us to develop so early on in our journey, but it's given us the strength now to really go through these challenging times.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Dan. I appreciate that. I think, one of the things I pulled out of there is just the communication being so key, so important, and that consistency and finding that, you mentioned brand, that thing that can connect you all, right? And that's Team Woodstock. And that thing that brings everyone together and makes everyone feel welcome so that I love how you touched that. It's not just the students and teachers and staff. It goes far beyond that to the rest of the community. And I think that's crucial. So I love that a whole lot. I want to go into one of my favorite questions, this talking about failure and how we overcome that. So I wonder if you could share with us a time that you've had a failure in your life, a challenge you had to overcome. Kind of take us there with you. What happened? How did you overcome that? And then what did you take away from that experience?
I think quite openly, I personally probably wasn't the best pupil at school and probably wasn't the best student in high school. And then into my, to my higher education. So before I left university, my experience of education didn't really inspire me to want to be an educator. I left with very minimal qualifications. I kind of, flunked a lot of my GCSEs, which are our standard, statutory assessments when you're 16 years old. And I didn't really think that I could, possibly go into a school and then be an educator. So I suppose one of my biggest failures was not particularly being well behaved or motivated or held a great level of concentration when I was at school. And I think I got into my late 20s and I'd spent a lot of time working in residential social care for children who may have been in, children's homes or in, alternative educational settings. And I realized I wanted to be a teacher. And the biggest challenge that I had was to go back to school whilst in my late 20s, gathering the GCSEs and the qualifications that I needed to actually get onto teacher training. So the biggest challenge I had was actually getting to be a teacher in the first place. And I remember going back to night school and taking various GCSEs just to make sure I had the entry level requirements to get into my teacher training. So along that way, there was a lot of, failing because I just think I should have really thought about this a long time ago when I was 16 and 17 and possibly messing about in class, to then realizing that actually what I was only doing was probably limiting the opportunities that I had, as I got to later life, really. And it's something I share with my pupils about, their behavior and their attitudes to learning, that at this moment in time, especially in elementary school and primary school, where you're talking to children who are 10, 11 years old, you talk about the doors of opportunity. And before they leave, for high school or secondary school in the UK, all of those doors of every opportunity or every, vocation that's available to them is there and open. And when they don't have the right attitude or maybe not fulfill what they wanted to do for their own fault, one of those doors shuts and then another door shuts and another door shuts. And the options that they have when they leave education is very narrow. So yeah, I think one of my challenges or one of my failures was probably not being the student that I'd want all of my pupils to be.
Oh, Dan, I'm so glad you ended up going into education though, because I think that us learning about kind of what not to do in our youth, it makes us better educators, doesn't it? Come on.
Oh, completely. I mean, I feel very fortunate that I didn't follow an immediate route from, high school or secondary school to university and then straight into teacher training. I felt very secure that the fact that I'd spent a lot of time doing lots of different things before I finally said I wanted to go into teaching and be an educator. Because I think that broad range of life experiences defines you, but also gives you a well-rounded view of the world. And I'm not, you know, that's not, you know, I'm sure I'm not at the detriment of those teachers who do follow that traditional route. But I do feel that if you can bring experiences from, you know, things that you've done prior to being in that vocation, it's all for the betterment of your journey and where you can take others, I believe.
Absolutely. We can all be better educators by bringing more to the table, more life experience, our own life experience to the table. I love that. You know, when it comes to the work you're doing, one of the things I've really learned about you is you are so dedicated to learning and connecting with others. And I so admire that. I love chatting with you. I love being able to see you make more connections in education as you continue to grow. And, you know, I'm so thankful that you joined the Teach Better family, truly, because I know there's been so many people that I am connected with that have learned from you. But when it comes to really what's exciting you right now about education, maybe what fuels your fire or what's really keeping you excited about what you're doing, what is that for you?
Well, I think it's born out of the situation that we're currently in, because we are in this really peculiar time for education, and that is not education within the UK, but definitely education across the globe. And obviously it's born out a very tragic set of circumstances. You know, we're all facing this rather, you know, unique, you know, unprecedented situation of the global pandemic of COVID, and we've seen schools close or go into hybrid models of education and learning. And we know that that's had an impact on our pupils and on our families and our communities. But I suppose what I'm really excited about is the possibilities of where we go next. Because I think in all of this, you know, we do hope that there'll be an end to, you know, the situation that we're currently in, and children will come back into school. But I think one of the things I'm really excited about is where do we take and where do we develop not only this new digital literacy that some of our children have now developed from working on, you know, working remotely and using media platforms such as Teams or Zoom or Google Classroom, but how do we incorporate, you know, all of these new skills of independence when you have all of these children at home following their own maybe individualized workflows that they've been set by their teachers? You know, giving them that sense of autonomy when they can decide, well, I'm going to do my English now and then I'm going to do my math work now. So all of those things, we're seeing children and, you know, students develop a new set of skills that we've probably never seen before and probably have had our kind of, you know, our hand played a little bit because of the circumstances. But I think what's really exciting is where do we take this next? And what do our classrooms look like when this is all over, when children come back into schools which no longer have to be socially distant, and when we can see a sense of normality to what we're achieving and what we're trying to do? So I think for me, what I'm really excited about is maybe not 6 months, but maybe in a year's time, what is learning going to look like? What are schools going to look like? What are classrooms going to look like? And also the role of teachers. What is going to be our role? Because we've had children who have been very independent in their learning, and we've been more of a facilitator rather than, you know, the, you know, talking from the front. We can probably more from, you know, the stage on the stage kind of thing, really. So I'm really excited about where we go next, and I'm very excited about the possibilities for all of these new schools to come in, you know, all of these new skills to come into fruition. And maybe create an education that we've never seen before.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. You just shared so much hope and excitement. I am jazzed up so much. When it comes to a piece of advice, what piece of advice would you give to teachers? And this can really be something just in general or about that beautiful, hopeful mission of what education could look like when we finally get out of the stage that we're currently in. But what piece of advice would you share with teachers?
I think one of the most important pieces of advice I've learned is about authenticity and being transparent and being yourself. I think, you know, we talk a lot about well-being and we talk a lot about mental health and making sure that our teachers are refreshed and our teachers are, you know, have a sense of purpose, and that sense of purpose can inspire well-being because everybody's rules or everybody's kind of, you know, jobs are clearly defined. I think for me, one of the things I learned very quickly, especially in leadership, and also in, you know, when I was a main scale teacher, as it were, was that it's far more exhausting trying to be someone else or a you know, a character of a teacher or a caricature of a leader than it is just to be yourself. Because you're constantly thinking, how would that other person think? Or how would this character think, you know, in my role? And actually what you find yourself doing is exhausting yourself trying to be someone that you're not. And for me, I think the best thing to do is just be yourself with all your flaws, with all your kind of foibles, with all your, you know, idiosyncrasies, because we have to be ourselves to educate. We cannot be carbon copies of someone else that has gone before. And it's our relationships with children and our relationships with staff that make any school unique, because it's grounded in transparency and honesty and trust. And, you know, as a leader, I feel that, and for teachers, you know, anybody working in the education profession, you'll always make mistakes. And the best thing to do is to have that honesty and to be in a culture where you can say, you know what, I dropped the ball there. And it's okay, because we are all going to do it, and we all kind of feel safe in making mistakes as we go along. So I think one my sole piece of advice to anybody working in education is be yourself. Just be yourself.
Wow. Dan, that was powerful. I mean, when touching just how you said that, how you phrased that around the idea of how it's exhausting to try and play a character of who you think you're supposed to be, or maybe who society has told you that you're supposed to be, as far as what a teacher is supposed to look like, or supposed to talk like, or supposed to act like. And it's exhausting trying to think of what would that character do? What would that person do? Versus just being yourself and letting yourself be out there and being transparent, be real, be genuine, be all the things you are, whether that's weird, goofy, and everything in between. That's powerful, powerful advice. I hope if you're listening right now, maybe hit that back button a few times and listen to that all over again, because there was a lot of power in what you just said. And I really appreciate that, Dan. That was awesome.
I think it's just really important. And I think we're in such a strange situation globally that it's made lots of people reflect about their occupations, their vocations, the way that we live our lives. And without sounding so, you know, quite grandiose about it, the easiest thing to do is to just be authentic and be transparent and recognize that, you know, if we are transparent and are humane and are keeping ourselves true to ourselves, that the relationships we made are going to be all based on trust and all based on, you know, honesty. And I think even with parents, you know, I can be a bit silly at sometimes, you know, speaking to the children on the playground, but that's just who I am. And the pupils like it, the parents like it. I couldn't be anybody that I'm not. And I think, you know, it's important just to be who you are.
I love it. I love it. Let's keep it going here. I'm going to throw the next 6 questions at you. Your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready to roll?
Go.
All right, give us one ed tech tool you cannot live without.
Twitter.
Give us a book you're reading right now.
James Kerr, Legacy.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
I would say Amy Forrester, who's the behavior writer for TESS. I would say Kate Jones, who's a writer, again, and a great education in Dubai. And I would also say Odyssey Trust, Amory Williams, who's a great education and school leader.
What's a good YouTube channel, website, or podcast for educators to check out?
Obviously, Teach Better Team and all of the fantastic podcasts and YouTube videos on there, but also a really great podcast that's in development at the moment, which is the We Lead Well podcast, which is fantastic.
Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Every day, write a list. Write 5 things on it, and they're the only 5 things that you will complete in that day. Anything else is just extra. Concentrate on 5 things. Make sure you achieve them. That's all you'll need to achieve, and it'll make you feel really, really good that you've achieved every single one.
And give us the best piece of advice you've ever received.
Be yourself, or just keep standing up.
Both
great. Dan, oh my gosh. And can I just tell you, I'm literally in the back of my head, not that I'm multitasking, I was thinking about what I had to do tomorrow. And right when you were saying answer to four, you were like, write a list and stick to it of five things. And truly in my head, I'm like, oh, I could do that. Sign me up. That's a great strategy.
People like to write lists, but then the lists go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And I think if you just go five things, that's it. That's today's workflow, and I'll get that done. If I can do other things, that's great. But if I can just do these five things, then I've achieved.
Well, and think about that. I mean, geez, anything extra is then like bonus. Then you can celebrate even more. I love that. Jeff, I have five things on my to-do list for tomorrow, just so you know.
Five? I'm pretty sure there's like 25 that you're making me do. So
That's true, but I'm going to write down five and I'm going to accomplish all five. And then who knows, I might get the other 20 done and that will be bonus.
Yes,
it's a bonus. Just make sure that first thing on your list of five isn't write a list of over 40 things to do.
Oh, no. Oh, he caught
it. It's a defeating object. That's a defeating task at the beginning.
Oh my gosh, Dan. I want to make sure everybody can stay connected to you. I know I personally am so thrilled to say that I am a better educator because I'm connected with you. I really love catching you on Instagram, seeing your tweets, and just continuing to learn with you. And so I want to make sure our listeners take it upon themselves to also make very, very strong connections with passionate educators. Would you mind sharing where people can stay connected?
No, of course. So, my Twitter handle is DanEdwards_77. I also have a blog, which is leadinginthenow.org. I believe on there you'll also find lots of social media icons to Facebook and Instagram and various bits and pieces. And most importantly, obviously, I'd love people to have a look at my school and have a look at the things that we're doing. So that's Woodstock Primary Academy, and that's our Twitter handle is Woodstock Acad, and on there you'll find a link to our school website, and you can see our ethos and, you know, have a look at our curriculum and the things that we do above and beyond for our pupils and our parents. But ultimately, you know, we're again as a school interested in making connections globally or internationally. So yeah, it's all good.
And, you know, you can find all the links and all the resources and everything we mentioned in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links for connecting with Dan and keeping this conversation going. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that as well. Let's keep taking just one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and connect with these amazing educators and just share this podcast with them. Dan, this was awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on. There's so much value in this episode. I'm so excited for other people to listen to it and to get inspired by it and to connect with you and to learn and grow with you going forward. So just really appreciate you taking some time. And I know it's super late there, so I really appreciate you staying up late for us. We didn't even touch on that, the fact that it's midnight
where you are right now. That's okay.
Really appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you both.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.